Hello everyone, I hope you're doing great today. I hope you enjoy these stories and I hope you have a great weekend. My Patreon now has early access to my videos, so if you join that, you can get that. And make sure you check out my podcast in the description below. Before the video starts, I have a quick message, so I just wanted to share this. Remember, if you're injured or you can't do the things that you normally enjoy, use it as a time to stop, reset and relax a bit as well as plan. You can normally find that you'll come back stronger from having injuries or downtime because you get to plan and focus on other things, and truly there's a strength from that. I used to hate if I got injured and couldn't go to the gym or whatever else I was doing and think I needed them to be stronger, but I actually realized it was more a case of I was looking at it wrong. So sometimes you might just be looking at things wrong and it can make you feel pressured for no reason. I know for myself it makes a big difference if I view things that way and remember that I have a choice of how I deal with things and I choose to be the strongest version of me. So I hope that can help someone and I hope you enjoy these stories. Have a great weekend and take care. Now I'd been a search and rescue worker for a few years, so I'd really seen my fair share of crazy things happening, a lot of which will stay with me forever, whether I want it to or not. But there's one thing that stayed with me for completely different reasons. So on one particular call out, about 20 years ago, I'd been called to an area that I knew very well and I had no issue actually going into. Apparently somebody in a coat had gone missing who was apparently hiking and hasn't been seen since. I get out there as quick as possible and start my search radius in the area that I've been permitted to search. Now, it wasn't actually night time, so I was glad about this. It was about midday, so I was really happy to be out there, because I knew that I had the best chance of finding somebody in the daylight. The chances of finding somebody at night are a lot worse because A, they normally don't have any way of communicating with you outside their own voice. Usually if they had anything with them like a flashlight, it's usually dead by now, and most people don't really know how to make fires. And secondly, you know, you can see everything. So I start my search and I'm just eager to find this person. I don't have any luck for the first hour or two. I eventually make my way up to a big waypoint where I can see quite far in all directions. I decide I need to stop for a minute and drink some water because I don't want to get lost out here myself and get too disorientated. As I do so, another hiker comes up to me. He says, "Hey buddy, are you lost?" I say, "No, quite the opposite," and laugh. Now he's wearing a green coat, so I know it's not the person that we're looking for. And plus this person looks really young, like he's in his early 20s. The person we're looking for is in his late 40s. I say, "What's he doing?" And he doesn't tell me too much. He just says that he loves to hike and explore the outdoors and that he's really having a good time. I explain what I'm doing and he says, "Can I help?" I say, "Sure," and we both sat down together. Now we don't really talk too much because we're really focused on the mission, but I'm actually having a really good time, and it seems like this person is really friendly, and you know what they say, two sets of eyes are always better than one, so I'm sure we're gonna find this person quick. So we search for about a good hour and can't find much, but my new friend, whose name I haven't caught yet, continues saying that we should check in this area. I don't know why, but I decide to follow what he says, and we continue up ahead. He says, "Just follow this all the way down and you'll find them." I'm convinced. I say, "Sure, let's go," and he says, "Sorry, I have to turn back now, good luck." And with that, he disappears down the hill. I'm on job so I can't stop and talk anymore, so I continue going forwards. I realise that I still haven't caught his name, so I quickly run up the hill, and he's nowhere to be found. It's crazy, it's literally like he's vanished, but that shouldn't be possible because I can see everywhere from up here. I think this is really odd, but don't really have time to dwell on it and have to continue. I only have about 2 more hours of daylight too, so I don't really want to be lost out here on my own. So I continue on with my search. Now, I didn't think about that person again because I was too focused on my job. I just thought it was cool somebody came there to help me. Now I stopped again to drink some more water and look up ahead of me, and I can just make out a blue color coat that matches the description perfectly. I almost spit the water out as I quickly jolt up, literally spilling all of my remaining water on the floor, quickly going over to the area. I call out and blow my whistle, but they don't move. I get a horrible feeling in my body. Just as I head over there, I can hear somebody else calling out to me. It makes me jump for a second, but then I realize it's my name. It's one of the other rescue guys. They've got to him first. He said, "Hey," and my name. We've just found him, and unfortunately, he's passed away. I then ask him to describe him to me, and it's literally perfectly to the description of who we're searching for. But suddenly, something clicks in my head. The very person that's just been described to me matches identically to the one I'd met earlier, just he looked far younger. I then ask for some more information about the person they've discovered, and ask where specifically that they're from. He then tells me that he's from Quebec in Canada, and suddenly, my heart drops. The person I was talking to had a French-Canadian accent, and then I realized something. I'm not a big believer in the paranormal, but I don't have an exact reason for what happened that day being anything else. When I saw an ID match on the person they discovered, it was striking how similar it was to the person that spoke to me. I believe that that person had come back in spirit form to guide me to their body. It would literally have been impossible for anybody to be out there without being discovered by the search and rescue team, and to be able to disappear like they did. I could have just thought it was my mind playing tricks on me, but the fact that they appeared so suddenly and disappeared while guiding me to the exact place where the body was is absolutely crazy to me. It's one experience I've never been able to forget since. My dad had been a fire watchman for a long time, and it was never really a job that interested me too much, but some of the things he told me give me nightmares even to this day. I always told my dad a lot of it was probably his mind playing tricks on him, but he's also said other things that made me think otherwise. I want to share a few of them with you today. Now, my father said that it was during one summer that they got an unusual call out. Apparently, somebody had spotted some smoke in one area that was within my dad's region that he had to cover. He had a look in the binoculars but couldn't actually see anything, so decided to go and investigate in the general area. As my dad heads down there, he has a strange feeling that he can't shake, almost like there's some kind of impending doom. He doesn't know what it is. Just as he takes a step forward to go to the area he needs, he hears a strange howling sound. He looks over to his left, and there's a wild dog staring at him. He said it scared the life out of him until we yelled at it and it ran off. My dad said the tension was cut like a knife had gone through it, and he was completely fine now. He continues with no sign of fire, until eventually he finds a small smoldering area. He thinks this is a little odd because it's almost like somebody's done this on purpose. There's just a single stick on fire. He's never seen anything like this before. And guess what? The feeling that he's being watched comes across again. He thinks this is weird and he picks up the stick, and there's nothing weird about it. Just he knows somebody's probably out here because it recently was on fire. He pushes it into the ground and can't seem to put it out. As he's doing that, he hears somebody throw a stone right next to him. He shouts out, "Hey, whoever's doing this, you better stop." Just as he's doing this, he stops midway through his sentence and realizes there's a note attached to the rock. Confusingly, he goes over to it and opens it up. He says the next three letters terrified him and he still has nightmares about it to this day. It just said run. My dad looked up and somebody has set fire to next to where his vehicle is and almost entirely around him. Needless to say, my dad didn't need any further instructions. He drops the rock and the note and immediately starts sprinting towards his truck. He manages to get in just before the fire spreads to it and speeds off to the next station. He radios in what's happened and some of the other guys say they've had some strange reports about a group of people in the woods. My dad finally makes it to safety and after a while they manage to put the fire out with some of the fire services and other departments. My dad files a police report of what's happened, and a few of the other watch guys file their reports of the strange men they saw. Nobody's sure exactly what happened to this day, and I thank God that my father made it out of there safely. I mean, heck, if he didn't, you wouldn't be hearing this story now. But it absolutely terrifies me to my core thinking that not only could I have not existed, but some absolute lunatics are out there in the woods doing God knows what, trying to kill an innocent man for no reason. My dad said after that he had a long time off work and got stationed to a complete different area. He actually moved state after that, it scared him so much, but more on that another day. Now my father would also tell me about some beautiful things that they would see in the night sky. Of course there wasn't too much light where my dad was, so in the tower you could get a beautiful view of the stars usually. He said he always liked to see different galaxies and nebulas through his binoculars, and planets sometimes. He said it would only be a star, but he knew exactly what it was because he was always into astronomy, and when he was younger his father had a telescope that he loved to use. And of course, from my dad's generation, they had the whole space race and moon landing, and my dad can just about remember Neil Armstrong setting foot on the moon. I wish I could have seen it. So my father tells me that there was one night in particular that something was just off. He was looking through his binoculars at stars for a few minutes when he realizes that the area around him is slightly too warm. He's not sure whether he's left the heater on, but he goes and checks and nothing's on. He thinks this is odd, and as he steps out again, he realizes the stars look different from normal. It's almost like they've moved. He's pretty sure it's just his mind playing games with him, and he's sure not a coward, so he continues searching. As he does so, something very bright appears behind him, almost like somebody's turned on a flashlight. Now initially, my dad doesn't know whether it's his eyes messing up or what, but as he turns around, he can see one of the stars floating just above the tree line. He's fixated on this for what feels like an eternity, but it was probably only 1 or 2 minutes. While doing so, my dad realizes that the warm sensation has come back again. Now, he also realizes that there's other lights here and they all seem to be dancing and moving around. My dad wipes his eyes and can't believe what he's seeing. And there's a strange glowing color coming from the tree line. My dad goes to radio it in, but he can't get anything at all on his radio. It's completely dead, with just static sounds. He can hear some kind of transmission, but it's extremely fuzzy and he can't really make out words. My dad says he doesn't know what compelled him to do this, but he has to investigate. He still can't believe what he's seeing. He grabs the binoculars and rushes down to head over there. And of course, it could be the start of a fire for all he knows. He says as he's walking up towards it, the lights become completely still. And suddenly, nothing. My dad said everything slowly goes black. And all he can remember now is waking up in the early morning. He said when he woke up, his face was really hurting him. And looking on a small mirror that he has on a compass in his pocket, he can see that he can't actually see which direction he's going in. The compass is just spinning in circles, and his face is sunburnt. Now, this is impossible because he was completely fine the night before, but now he looks like he's been in the sun for days. His arms are like it too, but especially his face, and it only seems to be on the front side of him. My dad doesn't know exactly what happened, but he must have been out for at least 5 hours because the sun's up now. And what's really strange is near where the trees are, it looks as though lightning struck, but there's no signs of that. The one tree that he saw that thing hovering over is completely dead. Again, not like it's been burnt from lightning, like it's dead dead, like it hasn't had any leaves on it for at least a year. To this day, my dad still has no idea what happened, and he said he wants to draw it up to his mind playing tricks on him, but there's just too much that doesn't add up here. My dad always loved the stars, but never really believed in UFOs or aliens or anything like that, but he's now convinced that there's something out there that's not from this earth. So I used to live near an infamous road. It's a thin road with no street lines, but only a few houses at the end, and lined with thick woods. There were no street lights. We heard stories like ghosts being spotted in the woods, weird beasts and creepy vibes, and a penny throw off a bridge coming back to you. Now, my boyfriend and I decided to drive down to it in his car one night. Now, my boyfriend has a manual car. The road had several pull-offs where you could park and sit. We pull off at the first one and take some footage of the woods. Nothing happened, so we continued driving to the next pull-off. We parked and shut off the car. We hear some rustling, but both assume that it's probably an animal moving away from the sound of the car. We sat there for a few seconds in the dark of the woods. We then heard something hit the car like a rock or something. We then hear several pounds on the top of the car. At this point, we decide to drive off. We try and start the car, but to no avail, it stood still. I was freaking out and told him to stop messing around. He then looks at me and says, "I'm not." While in first gear, he then presses on the gas, beginning to pull away quickly. Against all logic, the car was fighting to go forward against something that wasn't viewable. The tail lights it up, and behind us, we can see nothing. Out of nowhere, the car miraculously jumps forward, and we drive off quickly. We try and blow off the experience of not being anything, but it's pretty crazy. We eventually decided to pull off near the bridge and park up. We go to throw a penny for the true experience, and we hear it hit the stream. It doesn't come back. We then look towards the car and can actually see somebody walking towards the back of it. We rush to the car, but there's no sign of anyone. This is the last straw, and we decide to get off the road ASAP. As we're driving away, we hear something else hit the car. This time it sounds like a penny, but we can't be sure. My dad told me this story several times with the context of a weird, cool event that happened to him when he was 10 in the late 1970s, as though he was time traveling. As I got older, though, the story really starts to terrify me, especially since when I was younger, I used to go to the same woods to play all the time. So his story started off with him doing normal things that some 10-year-olds might do. Going up to the family forest to play on the outskirts. Mind you, the entire area spanned over 65 acres that we own, but overall it spans miles. He said that it was a normal day and nothing out of the ordinary was happening, until he got to about halfway through the entire woods. He looked into the very far end of our area and heard multiple men's voices coming from inside. My grandfather used to be a farmer, so my dad thought that it could have been one of his uncles. Being curious, he runs over to the woods to investigate. There, he walks into the trees until he comes across an entire logging crew clearing the trees. He said that it was nothing like he's ever seen before, and these men were working, and are completely ignoring him as though he's invisible, literally. The other strange thing was that all of the logging trucks and the clothing that the men were wearing appeared to be extremely outdated. He said it was probably 30 or 40 years old at least, potentially more. He starts walking through the area and then tries to ask the men where they come from and who are they. One man finally notices my dad, squats down and says, "What are you doing down here, kid? You need to go back." My dad, very confused, agrees to follow the man back to the edge of the woods. They wave goodbye and my dad starts walking back home. He says all he can remember after that is starting to walk back, but waking up in the middle of the field and the sun's now setting. He's been gone for nearly 2 hours according to his mum, who's been yelling and calling for him for literally hours to come back in, and she's getting worried now. As he normally stayed, never for that long though, she realised something was wrong. The weird thing was that he said it only felt as though he was gone for 10 minutes tops. He never took naps, or he was someone who would never normally take naps too, and that's something else that he found really weird. For some reason, he never felt the need to bring it up until he saw my grandmother. I still don't understand why he never did, and he still to this day doesn't really know that I understand either. He said when he got home, it was like he couldn't really speak at all and he was incredibly drained. As the next few days go by, he told himself that it was probably real and that his dad probably hired people to go out there or something. He said things got really weird though when he went back the following week, and it was as though the men were never there. The trees were not cut, no tire markings, nothing. So he still didn't bring it up to his folks for some reason. Years later, as an adult in his 30s, he sat down with my grandfather one day over lunch, and somehow, getting on the topic, my dad wanted to ask him a few questions. By this point, my dad was convinced that he either had a very weird dream and really did pass out, or that he had time traveled somehow. To be honest, at this point, he did not really think of it as that strange of a dream. Now there's some questions. He asked my grandfather about the property itself, how many times has it been logged, among other things involving logging. The biggest thing that stuck out though was that my grandfather told him that about 30 or 40 years ago, before my dad was born, his family had hired a logging company to clear and sell lumber. Nothing super eventful, but it matches almost perfectly to what he saw. Thinking back to my own childhood, there were so many times I went exploring by myself or with my dogs in the same woods. The strangest thing I can ever think of what happened to me was that I would occasionally hear men yelling construction talk, but I always thought it was my neighbours, but they were never there. It sort of sends a chill up my spine thinking about it now. I also found a barbed wire fence mashed into a tree, horseshoes, and old tools that were used for farmland, as well as interestingly shaped natural streams. There's tons of natural cave systems on our property too, which I've managed to find one where one of the streams flows into the underground. It's quite beautiful really, but there's some creepy areas that are entirely empty, dead of everything including weeds, looking as though it's been untouched for decades. When I was 8 years old, we moved to the place that I still live in today. The house lies at the end of a dirt road in a rural village. Surrounding the house are fields and scattered forest patches. Our property is not very large, just the ground directly surrounding the houses. In front of the house is an open grass field with some small tree patches here and there, as well as some higher and lower parts. It's not completely flat. After really thinking about it, it's probably more like a kilometre or so of fields that stop and start with trees in between. Now there must be in total about 4 or so times where I went to explore when I was younger, most of the times with a friend. The last time I'd been there must have been at least 4 years ago. At first glance, the trees seemed to go on for a long time, but Already off 50 meters, there is a dirt ridge to the left and right around 2.5 to 2 meters higher. Then all of a sudden, if misplaced, there are a few cabins with no patterns to their positions, scattered over roughly 250 meters with a shallow pond and thick wood on the sides, and between them grass and thin bushes on either side. The whole thing had a rectangle shape. Now we had crossed over the ridge on one of the shorter sides. Now the cabins all look like they're built in the 80s with flat roofs. When we first went there, we thought it was odd, but it could have just been an abandoned resort or something. But then we looked through the windows. Inside most of them, they're empty or had things covered in blankets. I remembered thinking it was creepy, but when we found animal remainders all over the land behind the ridge, we got really scared. And we went deeper into it, which was only when we were there the second time. I remembered thinking how odd it was to be there, because there were no signs or anything to mark somebody's property. There weren't any roads to go there too. Now, when we got to the end, it was the last time we went there, because it felt like we were being watched. As we went to leave, I spot a tall hooded man in dark clothing walking towards us from about 100 meters away, with what appears to be a rifle on his back. My friend and I start running away in the direction of my house, but I can see the man following us. We reach the ridge, but our view of where the man would be is blocked by a cabin. My friend climbs over first and I followed him. We run and don't stop running until we're home again. We never told our parents or anybody else because we don't really want to get in trouble, but it was truly terrifying. Okay, so I have no idea exactly what I saw that night. I have searched everywhere for sightings or even myths around the area we saw it, and I found nothing. If anyone has any idea what we saw, or even if anyone else has seen it, please let me know. My husband and I think it could be a Wendigo, but I'm not sure. Now, my friends and I go camping a lot. Our favourite place is Red River Gorge, Kentucky. We go there so often. And I've been there since I was an infant. I'm 28 now, married with a kid and still go. It is the closest place to where I live that you can actually see the Milky Way pretty much all the time. It's perfect to stargaze, and I've seen a shooting star every clear night that I've been there. When we go without our kid, we will night hike to a good lookout point and stargaze for hours. Our first experience is night hiking. We would go to the trails we knew well, and were used to frequenting during the day. Now, the most used trail in the area is one that's known as the Natural Bridge Trail. The trail is around 2 miles uphill, depending on your starting point. I've done this trail every summer of my life and could do it blindfolded. It has wooden steps, carved rock steps, long handrails, multiple sitting points under a roof, trash cans, and after reaching the main trail, there's no lights. It's often used, and while it's an uphill one, the difficulty is low. As long as you have a good grip on your shoes and water, you'll be fine. My friends and I have literally done this multiple times, and are confident in it as well. Hiking this trail at night is not allowed, but it's in the woods, and I've never really been to one that I've cared about closing times. When we use this main trail to hike to the top, we will park in a lot designated for the pool and Hoden Island. You walk across the road that leads to the pool, and you're at the first trail marker. You go up the gravel for a while and pass the Natural Bridge State Park Lodge. There's actually a waterfall and some lights. It's always best to go fast and watch out for rangers that would tell us to leave. Then you walk across another road, and there's a mini shelter to sit on, or a small rock wall that you can rest on. That night, things are normal to begin with. As soon as we started the hike, the clouds took over and it appeared as though we'd been walking for nothing because we can't even stargaze. But We went anyway, just in case it cleared out by the time we get up there. In the beginning, it was just normal paranoia that was keeping us stressed and quiet, it seemed. You know, you've reached the bottom of the bridge when you see a giant limestone wall. During this time, there was a gazebo that set to the right of this wall, and the trail continued and followed next to the wall. Where you come from is a fairly steep part of the trail, and the gazebo is welcomed. My husband, my best friend at the time, and I all sit on top of the gazebo. We're all facing down towards the limestone wall now. We each have an LED headlamp and a headlight. We don't usually look at each other because it's blinding. So we sit in a line, like the Lord's Supper, and walk in a line or staggered not to blind ourselves. It is after hours at this point. No ski lift riders have gone for hours and the rangers had already done their sweep. So they're heading back, but we're obviously not. We ended up leaving in no time though, and making sure the trail at the top was clear for our hike up. The ski lift takes you to the top, but there are workers that stay and do counts and only leave once it's clear. I guess I have to make these points because that's what I was thinking when what seemed out of nowhere, a girl with a headlamp appears, beginning to walk down the trail, staring at us. She's in a sundress and flip-flops. The hike's uphill, and while it's easy, you don't want to do it without water or real shoes. She'd have to hike up and down to this point with no food or water. Her light was bright, and when she reaches where the trail turns from in front of the gazebo down to where she comes from, she stops. And she just stands there, kind of eerie. She's looking directly down at us. Her light made my hand light up. Now she doesn't turn away from our lights at all or even react to them. I say hello. She said kind of what sounds like, "Hello, how are you?" But I can't make out what it is. I said something like, "Good, and you?" She pauses for what feels like an eternity and says, "Oh, I'm fine." She then just stood there with her hands to the side of her, staring at us. Her light made it impossible to really see her face, and it was so bright I have to put my hands up the entire time. She eventually walked away and slowly turns down the trail. She got to the part where the trail turned and we saw her light just stay in that one spot for a minute, then fading. We wait for a while before continuing up. I kept making comments about how weird that was, and everyone else just made it out to be as though I'm being afraid. But no one ever come after her, which is kind of funny. But she had done this hike alone, at night, and I wasn't sure why. Somehow she hasn't even been detected by any of the park rangers. We got up after a bit and started walking back to the top. It felt like it took much longer than it ever had before in the past. But we make it to the top. There's stones. And they're kind of steep and named Fat Man Squeeze. They get you over to the top of the bridge and you can walk across it and whatever. Going up and being on the top, we hear twigs snapping, almost alternating from left then right. We lay down and try and stargaze, but the clouds are thicker now and it's miserably hot. We could hear voices at the same time and my husband kept checking for people. He never saw anyone. We saw a light flash, but nobody near it. And then a bird call. But it wasn't like a real bird, almost like a person imitating one. Like rhythmic and not so much natural, if that makes sense. I was convinced that we weren't alone and hadn't been alone for a while now. I asked if we can leave as soon as possible and everyone agrees. We began going down the way that we come from, and it felt like it was taking an eternity. We were going steady and quick, and it was downhill, but we're not making any ground, it seemed. It's hard to explain, but it was weird. I even said aloud, This feels much longer than it should be, and they agree with me. I kept looking behind me with the flashlight, and my husband kept looking out to the sides, and my friend kept hers mostly forward. I kept feeling watched and can't figure out what footsteps are ours or the others. I would turn around in the direction of the noise and see nothing. When my husband was walking, he kept saying he was catching eyes with something in his flashlight. Usually you can see a raccoon spying on you, but not this time. He's afraid maybe it's a big dog or bear. And I could never see it when he did. Now, we're hiking down, semi-panicking, on a kind of flattish area compared to the normal downhill areas that we're used to. The log fence or handrail, whatever it's called, is on our right. We are in a row walking within reaching distance from the barrier, and my husband just stops walking altogether and says, "What's that?" But the question is more of an alert. I move my headlamp in the direction that he's pointing to and see nothing. But then, both of his lights catch a shape. My headlamp catches the shape too. It's almost simultaneous. All lights fixate on this grey creature. It is bent in a crouching position, knees facing out to the right, turning towards us. It starts to slowly stand, and my mind is racing. It looks human, but it's far too big. People mistake human shapes for what's actually bears in the woods, but this is shiny. It's thin and big, almost like it's too big and too grey. There's a shine to it, and our lights reflect it even more. It gradually comes to a standing position. Its head is long, and its eyes are in a human position, but it's not human whatsoever. It doesn't have normal eyes, just big empty holes. It looks directly at us. The way it stood up was intimidating, almost like it was a snake, and it appears smart. It was like it was stepping up to a fight, from crouching to accepting a challenge. Its hands had to be by its knees. It must have stood about 8 or 9 feet tall. No hair whatsoever, and its head was large. I can't process what I saw, and I was frozen. Then, I can just feel my husband hitting me saying, "Run, please." I start to understand that we have to get away from this thing, and it pivots and runs to the right. Going backwards on the trail so it could get around the barrier and onto the trail behind us, we take off the rest of the way running down the trail, knowing that this thing could take off so much quicker than us and get to the barrier so quick. We didn't talk much at all because we felt so scared. We kept running as far as we could. It never felt like we're even out of sight of this thing, let alone reaching distance. As we made it to the trail beginning with the gravel, we could hear something to the right side crashing down through the forest. We run to the road and get to the car, driving off as quick as we possibly can. When that thing looked at us, I knew immediately it was much stronger, smarter and faster than us. I knew that if we hadn't seen it, it could have taken one of us at least. I think it only hesitated because there's such a big group of us. When we made it back, we were all terrified, trying desperately to figure out what we saw, but none of us can make sense of it. I was born and raised in the hills of Eastern KY, about 10 miles from Hazard. When I was about 14 to 15, my cousin and I went hiking, going to the top of one of the mountains. We followed a trail, sometimes almost straight up, and what we saw terrifies both of us. We had been walking for about an hour and a half, when we saw a man and woman's clothes on a tree limb. That might not sound strange, but we were far from people, and the branch was at least 30 feet off the ground. The clothes were neatly draped over the branch like they'd been not thrown up there. We ended up going further, and eventually found a flat area. There's no trees, no grasses or flowers. Now, off to my left, I remembered seeing a black hole in the air. Not shiny, like the mouth of a cave, just black. It was 8 foot tall and 3 feet wide, and kind of misty around the edges. Seems like every year the memory fades a little, so the next thing I remember is tearing down the side of the mountain as quick as possible, not following the trail, just trying to get away from whatever it was. To this day, I have no idea what it was, but I'm sure there was a connection between the people's clothes missing and that. I've been lurking here for a few months, but decided to tell my story finally. My family and I are from Oakland, CA. It was 2012. I was 16, and my brother was 12. And my parents are both in their mid-50s. One summer, we were on a road trip and ended up camping in the mountains above Lander, WY. I remembered sitting in the back seat behind my dad, who was driving. We're on a dirt road above Sinks Canyon. All of the windows are open. It's July and really nice out. We pulled over by the turnout to one of the lakes to the right of us to take a look at the map. My parents weren't sure about how to get to the campground on the other end. It's quite a few miles away. About this time, a young lady came jogging from the other direction. I remembered she was blonde, had a yellow tank top and dark shorts. My dad waved out the window to call to her. He said we're lost and said you know the area. Yeah, sure do, if you keep following this, she mentioned. It will take you to Louise Lake. The campground's it to your left. We thank her and she says she's Amy. Anyway, a few years later, I see an episode of Disappeared that featured a young runner who had gone missing in the 19s outside of Lander, WY, and I immediately get chills. Apparently, she was never found. They show her picture, and the hairs on the back of my neck immediately stood up. It's her, and her name's Amy. When we saw her, she appeared to be the same age, even wearing the same clothes in the program. I showed my dad a few days later, but he didn't remember specifics. He remembered her being called Amy, but that was it. My brother was asleep when this happened, and my mum had no comment. But I know what I saw. It was Amy. Now, I'm not religious, which makes this story harder for me to understand, but the rest of my family is, and for some reason, my mum and dad were still together, and they prayed when riding the bus. That was just a habit they had. We lived in Fidland out in the woods a bit, and strange things aren't really that common here. This happened before I was born. I was in the womb. My mum and dad got on the bus and notice a tall, slim, dark thing sitting behind the driver. It's wearing all black robes. Now they can see because it's darker where the tree line is, and it almost stands out as being pitch black compared to the surroundings. To this day, they don't know if it was male or female. They sat a couple of seats behind the thing, and as usual, start praying. My mum noticed the head of the thing start to shiver and jolt lightly. She didn't mind it. But the more she prayed, and the further into the forest the bus drove, that thing seemed to get more agitated. My mum shivers when she speaks about it. She has had so many nightmares about this thing. My mum started getting a weird feeling. My dad didn't care as much, he's used to weirdos. But the jolting intensifies, and the long greasy hair, barely holding on the top of the head, starts whipping. The thing then starts growling and hissing. Suddenly, it stopped. Its head turns all the way around and stared with its soulless and dark eyes straight at my mum. A wave of panic overtook her as she started frantically pressing the stop button. They get off, and my dad said, "What is it?" My mum explained the whole thing, but my dad brushes it off, said that there's full of weird people on this bus. But here's a kicker. My mom often has visions, and they're often true. She once saved a guy from committing suicide and had a vision of his chair he was sitting on just before he jumped off a roof. She also saw his face in the vision. She knew where he was going to jump. He said afterwards that he told God that if somebody doesn't speak to him, he'll die. Back to the story. My mum saw a vision of the thing standing in front of their door, and she freaked out and refuses to go home. But my dad, in his nature, dragged my mum along and ensured her it's going to be alright, and how ridiculous the vision is. I bet you know where this is going. They got home, and sure enough, the thing was right there, right in front of their door. They freaked out, ran for their lives, and escaped into a bar calling the priest. He said that under no circumstances do they touch or even go near that thing, ever. They waited in the bar for hours and finally noticed the thing's gone. They then had the priest come and purify their house. I went out hiking into the wilderness on the outskirts of Yuma and walked about 5 miles from my car to my campsite. I brought my usual hiking gear along, as well as my AR-15 for protection against wild animals like coyotes and snakes. My firewood supply burned up just after the sun went down. I went to bed at 18:30. I messed around on my phone until 19:30, passed out, and I'm then woken up by a call by my friend. Now it's around 8:30, and I fell asleep again. The next time I woke up, I couldn't move. I could hear rocks moving around outside and soft footfalls in the sand right outside my tent. I heard coyotes howling louder earlier, so I know that's what they were. I was sleeping with my back against the wall, and one of them idiots presses their noses in my back and sniffs me for a good few minutes. The second thing that happened was around 0300. This is a nightmare. Not sleep paralysis this time. There are two sections in my tent that can be seen through. It had to be a dream, but I woke up, peered through the window, and I saw a young woman and child sitting outside my tent on a small rise, no more than 6 feet away. I asked who they are. The child was silent, but the woman declared, "Leave now." They made a horrifying face. I was able to grab my gun. I tried to shoot them, because it dawned on me that something was terribly wrong. The trigger wouldn't budge. She then stood up and walked into the shrubs. The woman walks away until I can't see her anymore, but the child passed out from under the moonlight into the shadow of the shrub tree. And because the moonlight was falling on the other side of the tree, all I could do is watch her silhouette change shape. She'd become a gnarly, bony freak, almost like a tall monkey. Absolutely silently, she rushed my tent. I squeezed the trigger for all that I'm worth. She collides with my tent. In that instant, I'm throwing punches everywhere, and everything goes back to normal. Now, the crazy thing too is on the way back, I find the scratch marks all over my car and on the back of my arms. I've never had anything like this before in my life. My husband and I love to go driving. We prefer road trips, but on the weekends or nights, we have nothing better to do than to go around cruising and just drive around. We prefer smooth and not busy roads. On this particular night, we are bored and decide to go cruising. We went up north to a small town, about 1/2 hour from the city where the roads are curvy and smooth. This town is close to the mountains, and if you follow this particular path to the main street all the way up north, it starts driving up a mountain. It's about 9 p.m. and there are very few cars in the road already since it's a little cute town. But we kept going north anyway from the houses and stores and eventually to where the roads start curving uphill. We drive up for about 15 minutes more, and it's pitch black when we see some blinking lights. As we get closer, we see a truck that's on the side of the road facing us. I'm getting the chills thinking about being all the way up there in the middle of nowhere, and a stranded truck on the side of the road appears. As we slowly approach, I tell my husband it's probably best to turn back. I have a bad feeling, but at this point, we're pretty much at the truck. He pulls up next to us. We see that there's a young blonde guy, probably in his late 20s, who gets up to our window. I get such a bad vibe by this and tell my husband not to put his window down. I think he also gets a weird vibe and actually listens to me. He kinda just loudly asks what's wrong, and the guy just says something happened to his truck and he needs a hand. His phone is dead. Now my husband asks what happened, but this guy insists on showing him and to take a look. He says it's very friendly and even calls him bro, and he's glad we pulled up. My husband says, you know what, I won't be much help because I know nothing about cars, but I can call help for you. My friend knows a lot about cars. The guy's insisting and gets upset. I'm now looking back at the truck, and I thought I caught movement inside the truck. I tell my husband I think we should go. Now. He probably saw the look of fear on my face because he puts the car in reverse. But as he did, the guy is now behind our car, so my husband decides to go forward instead. We drive up for maybe 2 minutes, trying to find a place to turn around since the road is so narrow. The road turns to a dirt road, and there's a little more space on the side, so he's able to turn the car around. I am dreading going back that way now, and our phones have no signal at all. In my mind, I know this could all be someone with genuine problems, but this doesn't make sense. I cannot help the feeling in my gut. We soon reach the area where the truck had been, and there's no truck at all. We drive maybe another 5 minutes, no trace of one whatsoever, and we're sure we've passed the place that he said. We didn't drive up too far to begin with. I am both relieved and terrified that the truck's no longer there though. If it had really broke down, how did it get help working again in such a short amount of time? Calming myself down, I'm telling my husband, hey, maybe they really did get it to work. Maybe it turned on all of a sudden and they drove off. Suspicious, yeah, but not impossible. As we keep driving through, the roads begin to straighten out. We notice far off the truck with all the lights off, and park to the side again and notice movement in the truck. I say out loud, why did they turn out all the lights? I think they were thinking we're still far enough away from them, but we see two figures get on the other side of the truck and crouch down as if hiding. We get closer and my husband floors it. As we drive past, the two men get up. One of them is the guy that we had spoken to earlier, and the other's massive. With a very surprised look in their faces, one of them turns and runs behind us trying to catch us. I kept looking back, but it's so dark. Now all of a sudden, I see the headlights in their truck, and they start driving in our direction very fast. My husband keeps going, and eventually, we lose the headlights. I kept looking back the rest of the way, so scared that they're somehow still following us. Maybe they turned off their lights again and I can't see them. Anyway, after driving for a very long time back to the city, we're convinced no one's following us now. We do call the non-emergency line given a description, but we don't get the plates, so it's pretty much futile doing so. Just given a description of the guys we saw. I realize all this could be rationalized, but it makes no sense why one guy was hiding and how they tried desperately to follow us. I hate the fact that they're still out there. I just pray we never encounter them again. I don't know if this is an Eastern Coast thing, but in my little town, there's a twice the ice station. Basically, you fill up water jugs and get ice bags for cheaper than you can in the grocery store. I went out a few nights ago to get some water, because hey, who wants to be drinking tap water? My husband was home, and because I'm kind of heavily pregnant, he insisted that he go instead. But I really wish that he would have done. I was out at 1 a.m., and it's dark for miles in the middle of nowhere. As I get out of my car, I open the back seat to get the gallon jugs and close the door. The moment I do, a dark blue truck van pulls up behind me. I presume that they're doing the same thing as me, and I don't really think too much of it. However, alarm bells start going off, and the alarm bells start screaming at me when the slide door opens up and two large men step out. It's about a 20-foot distance between me and them, so the first thing I do is pull out my phone and start making a pretend phone call saying, "Yeah, I'm almost home." As soon as they see me answer, one guy says, "Crap," and they both get in there, tires literally screeching as they bolt out of there. I throw the jugs into my car, empty, and lock all the doors a million times before I broke down calling my husband. He told me to write down the make and model of the car and color, and we'd go to the police station first thing tomorrow. Now, I don't know if they targeted me because I was a woman alone in the middle of nowhere, but deep down, I know they targeted me because I was pregnant, and I don't want to think what would have happened if they got me. When I was 16, some friends and I went to an outdoor center concert thing. We parked at the mall and took a shuttle to the venue. For perspective, the mall is a 20-minute drive from our home, and the venue's another 20 minutes away in a different direction. During the concert, I end up losing my friends in the crowd. I don't care though, as I wanted to get to the front, and I could just call them after the concert ends. Well, of course, I lost my phone somewhere in the crowd of people and don't even notice until the last show wraps up. I search the ground as the people dissipate with no luck. Reluctantly, I just hop on the bus heading back to the mall, hoping to meet them at the car. The car is gone, and I start to freak out a little. But it's 10 p.m. when I head to the bus station to see when the next bus is coming. Just my luck. It's a special holiday, so no buses until 10 a.m. I borrow a stranger's phone and call the two numbers I know, my mum and brother. My mum doesn't answer, but my brother does. He basically gives me the suck it up talk and hangs up. So I'm alone, scared, and a little drunk in a city I don't know. I try walking but quickly give up when I realize I'm basically walking down a random highway towards God knows where. Back at the station, I'm just staring at the map when a stranger creeps up behind me. He asks me where I'm heading, and I say the truth. He is conveniently going to the same city, asking if I take a split to a cab. Realizing this is my only option, as I said, I don't have my own money, we get in the car. Turns out he has less than I do. We barely have enough to get to the heart of the city, which is a 10-minute drive from my home, but at least I know my way from there. During the drive, this guy gets progressively more creepy. He's aware that I'm 16 and he's 25. He scoots closer every minute, touching me, insisting I come back with him, even writing his number on my leg. As we get there, I realize the situation I'm in. We're about to get out at a quiet area at 2 a.m., and the cabbie's gonna drive off, leaving no one to hear me scream. The second he gets out, I turn to the driver, begging him to take me further so I can at least put some distance between us. The cab driver said he hadn't heard a word the whole way, but definitely heard something odd. He asks me for my address and takes me all the way home, and the creeper stares in frustration as he drives off. When I got home, I offer to wake up my mum to pay him, but he declines, saying he's just glad I'm safe. I broke him through the kitchen window to get to bed and cried myself to sleep. I'm just glad the cab driver was so kind to me